Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows. All you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask. Say the word and I'll be there. Just ask. You know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough behind me. So if you want the sweetest honey, I think hindsight's 1990. Here's on me to pretend.
Shit 90 Shows Taught Me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Do you not want to wait? Neither do we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Hey, Jess. I am doing good. We are having like a nice little therapy session today. Gotta tell ya, episode 7, Text, Lies, and Videotape. That was the ultimate catfish that I've ever did see. I was expecting, okay, a text. Every single time I say it, I say sex, but text, what I guess, was there text? I don't know. Lies, barely. The videotape was not a sex tape. Like, this is like such a catfish, yeah. This episode.
Yeah, they really did get us. It was like one of those ones where based on the title, you're like, oh, it's going to be a good one. It's going to be drama, intrigue, revelations.
Right.
No, this honestly, it's so funny because I didn't have time to rewatch this week. I usually watch the episodes twice.
Yeah.
But I only watched this one once. And when I went back to like remember what this episode was about, honestly, complete blank. When I actually like reread the plot to remember, I was like, oh yeah. So like pretty much nothing happens this episode.
Yeah. So I mean, to be fair, the thing is, like, I do think that like things happened this episode, but it's not really like it's not like it's podcast worthy, right? Because it's kind of it's kind of a slow burn. And I say that because there's a lot of interesting things that happen, but nothing really to fully like drive the plot forward. But also, I mean, like, so like the main three things I'm thinking of is like Dawson's therapy you know, it's interesting to me. That is interesting to the masses. Probably not. Like, you know, that it's not like it's not a, I don't know, like a shipping type of thing. There's no like relationship to me, who somebody who, as we've talked about a lot, has gone through therapy. The content to me is interesting. The next point is like Joey and her class and trying to like figure out this mystery. Once again, it's interesting, but has nothing to do with the overall plot. And also, I don't know, to the average like teenage viewer that would be watching this show back in the day, probably not interesting. I mean, to me, it's interesting in general, but not super interesting. What else happened? Pacey and his like little love triangle.
The thing is like, who freaking cares about Karen and the chef? Like, literally no one cares about Karen and the chef. I would say, like, even the Joey plot line, I truly couldn't have cared less about the Joey plot line. Like, to me, it's like, it's pretty much the most boring plot line you could write for a college story.
I guess so. I mean, like I said, and if you want to generalize it, I do think, me personally, a person, like, I think, like, if I was entranced in this project myself, I would find it interesting because you get letters. You don't know who these letters are to.
Mm-hmm.
The most interesting thing to me personally was Audrey talking to herself in the Real World Ibiza. That was hilarious. Tape.
Of course, Audrey is the most like interesting part of this episode, right?
That was
like,
interesting. Yeah.
But I just think, like, when you think about who the show is targeting, like who its audience is, it's college kids, probably. You know, it's high school kids, college kids, exactly. it's young people. And so, like, the young people don't give a flying fuck about Joey's project, right? They're sitting there either being like, okay, are Joey and Dawson finally going to like get together? Or they're thinking like, is Professor Wilder going to like put the moves on Joey?
Right.
Like, those are literally the two things going through their minds.
In Hot Professor. Now, one thing that I kind of do, because like now we're getting like vibes with our people. And maybe it's because we're so thirsty for something to happen regarding with love or relationships. I'm still getting like Joey Professor vibes. Like, I think that she's developing like a little bit of a crush on him. I'm getting obviously Pacey Karen vibes. Like, Pacey likes Karen. Karen kind of likes Pacey, but likes Danny better, the chef better. And then, most interestingly, is it just me or were you getting Dawson Jen vibes this episode?
Actually, it's funny. I really wasn't getting like romantic vibes from them. I was definitely getting more like, I really appreciated that they paired them up again, because I think like that duo is pretty underrated in terms of how good they are for each other. And I don't mean romantically. I mean, like, I think Jen understands what Dawson is going through and is really able to like connect with him on it more than most. And I think that happens a lot with those two. And so I guess I would say I wasn't getting romantic vibes. I was getting more platonic friendship vibes.
They are both in intellectually like, or emotionally mature and like almost the same level, which is ironic saying that from Dawson. But I mean, I think that in the last year or two that he's definitely grown, but I think that, it's weird because it's like, why would I think it what ultimately it comes down to is like, there is, I think that Dawson feels most comfortable with Jen these days. And I think that they are going down memory lane in some ways and saying like, why didn't it work? Like, how could it have not worked? I think that Jen on her radio show, which God, I didn't know that she had a radio show, but sure, she's on the radio show now.
See, that's the other thing. It just feels like, what, like,
like, when did that happen? Okay. So now Jen has a radio show on Charlie's radio station. Like, why would she bring up like, oh, there is a time where like, we were at a lake and he saw like nothing about me at all, or like not like barely anything of me, like or all of me rather.
Oh yeah, that was okay. That, see, to me that felt like very weird to put in this episode. Like, it felt very, that is the one moment I agree felt more than platonic, because then, they even like flash back to it.
Yes.
And I was like, why are we doing this?
That's what I'm saying. That's the vibes. And like Dawson chuckling to himself, where, I mean, they flash back to a time where they were. I'm trying to remember what happened then, because was it not like, didn't Jen reject him or something in the lake?
Yeah, like it was weird because they weren't together. Like Dawson had wanted to do something like reckless and like,
I just want to be a teenager episode.
Yeah, yeah. And so Jen was like, let's do it. And then this was short hair Jen. They were never dating when she had that short hair.
Right. And then he was like, I want to be reckless. Like, let's just make out. And then she was like, definitely not. And we like, Jen, like, what do you expect? You're skinny dipping in the lake. Like, what? Like, obviously Dawson was like getting romantic vibes. But once again, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking like, okay, maybe they're both thinking like they're both single. They both don't really have a lot going on. They're both kind of disconnected from all of their friends around her. Jen with Jack and Dawson with Joey and Pacey. Yeah. Like, they have each other. And then when you have each other, you find comfort in each other in more than one way. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just interesting. Like, overall, it didn't, like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, the vibes of the episode were just weird. Like,
yeah,
it just, like you said, it doesn't make sense to plunk that, like, Jen and Dawson storyline in here out of nowhere. Like, I don't really care what's going on with Pacey and Joey. Like, literally, like you said, Audrey is the only character where I'm, like, interested in what is happening to her this episode. Yeah. And she gets, like, such a small storyline. But
right. I have to say, individually, things are, like, kind of interesting. Like, I'm never going to, but it's not fun. I think
that's
like,
the thing. It's not fun. And that's what the show should be.
It should be fun.
But yeah,
an episode called Text, Lies, and Videotape should.
Yeah, the marketing was off. But yeah, let's cover season 5, episode 7, Text, Lies, and Videotape, where we start off in Boston. We have Jen and Dawson like drinking some coffee. Jen is waiting with Dawson because he has his therapy appointment, and this time he doesn't want to like ditch, you know, he's supposed to be like sitting there. And so Jen is going with him to make sure he goes in. And they start chatting about like therapy and like what he's supposed to do when he gets in there. This feels like a very 90s conversation, Sarah, because I think so. Yes, because I think back then the idea of going to therapy was so like big and intimidating and like rare, or at least it wasn't ever discussed. Whereas now I feel like people are much more like, yes, go to therapy. It's wonderful. Like, people don't call their therapists shrinks anymore. You know what I mean? That's true.
I mean, I do agree with you. However, I think that the feeling of, I don't think that people see it as like only quote unquote crazy people. And that's not my words. Like, yeah, that's just like the stereotype of the time, go to therapy. But I do think that the push for somebody who has not gone to therapy before or in a very long time, but needs to go, but there's a self stubbornness and resistance to not wanting to go because of the unknown. I think that that's still very real.
That for sure. I totally agree with that. It's more of the philosophy around therapy on this episode that feels very, very dated. And I do love Jen saying 90% of people on this earth will benefit from a little honest to goodness time on the couch. Yeah. And then Dawson asks like, wait, you laid on a couch? And she's like, yeah, it wasn't very comfortable. Like, Tom Frost's office was like very Danish. And so she says, I predict that Rachel Weir is going to be so much warmer. She's probably gonna have a spider plant in the window.
I kind of love the thought of just talking about what they think that like their therapists are going to be. Like, I always refer to like my therapist, like, by first name. And I'm like, blank, blank, like really went off today. Like she was like doing so well. I think it's just funny. Have you ever physically gone?
No, I've only ever had telehealth like therapy appointments. Right. So I've only ever done over video. But yeah, I've noticed like the background in my therapist.
Did they
videos,
have a couch?
You know? So she had two different setups. I'm going to assume one was like a home office and one was like her regular office. I could spy a couch in the background of one of her setups, but not in the other. Again, I don't know if she, I assume that she also does in person, but, I always did telehealth.
Yeah. I've never been on a couch.
It feels really weird to me, the idea of laying down and like not making eye contact with who you're talking to is kind of weird to me.
Eye contact. A lot of anxious people don't like to make eye contact.
No, it's more of like the idea of like, because laying down and like looking up and not looking at the person you're talking to feels very similar. Like if you were to like sit backwards on the couch and like face the wall while you're talking, like it just seems really strange to me. But
well, I think the idea is like, oh, be as comfortable as you can so that you can open up how you feel like is appropriate for you. Like when I went to therapy, in person, it was like this like big leather lounger chair with like a leather ottoman. It was very comfortable.
Wow.
Yep. Yep.
But and so they're talking about this whole thing and like Dawson's like, oh, you don't feel like ridiculous like talking about all your problems to a stranger? And this is when we find out Jen has a radio show that like we didn't know about. This is news to us. And like apparently him and Grams are like the only ones who listen.
We saw Jen on Charlie's radio show once. So I maybe
did she take it over? Like what is the deal here?
Maybe this is like collateral for Charlie being like a rat, or Charlie's boss heard her on Charlie's radio show and was like, you're on star or like on air talent. We have to have you. Like, please come and do your own show.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, she has a radio show. It's very like the first university that I went to had a student run radio program where you were able to like go and sign up and have like booth time. And you were able to see how many people were listening. And it was like always like four people.
Like,
who are you?
Like, yeah. Who are the four people listening to this? That's funny.
That they were like prisoners.
Oh my God.
Like how somehow the prisoners had like access to radio. I don't know. But whoever you were back in the day, and you were able to like play music.
Yeah.
And it was very cool.
Wow.
I know. That was my podcasting career before my podcasting
career.
There
you go. That's when you started. That's what started it all.
That's where it started.
So then we're back and we're in Joey's dorm and she's like busy studying. Audrey comes in. She has this like, I mean, now it's super dated. At the time, it was very high tech, like video camera. And she's just like, she's like slamming the door in like this guy's face, like, love ya, mean it, really, seriously.
Yeah. I love how she says, why does your cool or film guy get to be, what is she, Tom Cruise?
Oh yeah, she calls him Tom Cruise. Yeah, she says, your film geek looks like Tom Cruise. The one that worships me looks like the kid who doesn't want to go to the dance in 16 Candles.
That's very funny.
And I think, is that Ducky? I'm pretty sure it's creepy. Ducky.
Yeah, it's very creepy because as we all know, I mean, Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise was quite the item.
Yes, it is kind of wild. And like, also Dawson looks absolutely nothing like Tom Cruise.
Yeah. I don't think that they were. I was looking up Katie Holmes's and Tom Cruise's relationship not too long ago.
Oh, they definitely were not dating timeline. Yeah.
They were definitely not. They got married in like 2006, I think, or something like that. So it wasn't that far away.
Yeah.
But in terms of dating, I don't think that they were dating quite yet. Maybe they met each other at like some Hollywood party at this point. Yeah, it's very weird. I heard that this is like such a sidebar conversation, but apparently in Scientology, you have to like give birth in allegedly in like extreme silence.
What?
And apparently they were, Katie Holmes gave birth to Suri Cruz in like silence. Like you can't make a peep.
Even like, when you're the one giving birth, you're not allowed to make noise.
Yeah, because I think like the baby has to come in like a calm setting and like scream.
I would like someone to push like 9 pounds of whatever out a tiny hole and not scream. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, Scientology giving birth in silence. The concept of silent birth is mandatory practice in Scientology doctrine. It's based upon the principle that expectant mothers must be provided the utmost care and respect. In Hubbard's words, everyone must learn to say nothing with the expectant mother hearing using labor and delivery. So everybody around her has to be silent.
Oh, does she have to be silent?
You would think.
That is very strange.
Yeah, I mean, there's several stories have reported that Katie Holmes would not be able to make any noise whatsoever during birth, and that Tom Cruise even had a special pacifier made for her to keep her quiet.
He put a pacifier in her mouth?
Allegedly, but Tom Cruise says that neither claims are true.
Yeah, right, Tom Cruise. Yeah, right.
I don't know. Isn't that very weird?
That is super weird. I mean, there's a lot of weird shit in Scientology, but that is really fucking weird.
Allegedly.
I mean, it's not allegedly weird. It's actually weird.
Allegedly. Suri Cruz was born in 2006. So when did Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes get married? And I'm saying this because this is not so far after what here.
Yeah, no, it's not. I mean, it's not really. Like, this is in 2002 okay. That this
Katie
is
Holmes being... was okay. This was in 2002. Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes got married in 2006. I was right, 7 months after Suri was born. So Katie Holmes was 28 when she gave birth, when she married Tom Cruise.
Okay, so like they're probably dating like literally like the last season or right after the last season.
Probably they're probably like he's probably already creeping on her at this point.
Ugh.
Because he chose Katie Holmes specifically because she was like the good girl.
Yeah. Well, good girls are silent when they give birth, I guess.
Allegedly. Okay, let's move on.
So Audrey says that she had to like practically sleep with this guy to get his camera because she's making a audition tape for the Real World Ibiza.
I love it. Go.
Storyline is wonderful.
Yeah. I was, I think Real World is the first reality show that I ever watched even before Survivor or maybe around the same time as Survivor. My first season was Real World New Orleans. I was obsessed with it. It was, and I watched Real World for many seasons after. And like, I wasn't really into Road Rules. I really liked Real World Road Rules Challenge, which is now called The Challenge. And the only reason why is because you got to see the Real World people again.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I watched Real World for a long time. I want to say I started with like Real World Austin or something like that. Like it took me a long time to watch the Real World. Like I was probably a teenager by the time I started watching it because we didn't have MTV for the longest time growing up. We didn't get it until I was a little older. But then I went back and I watched like a lot of the older seasons. But yeah, I loved the Real World and I loved the Challenge. And like you said, I never watched the Road Rules, but the reason I watched the Challenge is because you got to see them all again. And it was like this really exciting competition. And obviously the Real World, like the idea of living with strangers now is like, okay, who cares? But back in the day,
revolutionary.
Like it was. It was like a game changer.
Yeah. And they really did try to, it was kind of like, oh, let's get this like Texan gun toting meat eater and let's pair them with like a vegan from California. Like that's kind of like a vegan hippie from California. That was kind of you know, what they did. And they had to, the funniest thing was that, like, not only like were they allowed to like party, because they could leave the house. They were, yeah, it's not like Big Brother, but like they could like party and whatever. But then like they all had to get fucking a job as well.
Oh, they always had to have these jobs, and they would always end up like over like sleeping because they were hungover and then they would miss the jobs.
Why did they have to get a job?
Like, because this was like the way it worked. I mean, now I'm sure, like, I think they probably changed that along the way. Actually, I wonder if my first season was San Diego. Now that I'm looking back at the different casts, I'm trying to figure out. I definitely remember going back and watching Las Vegas, because I remember that there was like crazy shenanigans from Real World Vegas.
Of course, I mean, it's in Vegas.
Was it Janelle or whatever her name was? There was like a girl that was really like notorious for, or Trishelle. Sorry.
Oh yeah, Trishelle. I thought that that's where you were leaning.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, it's very funny that Audrey is trying to get on the show.
She would be great.
And she's like, "Do I go for vamp, vixen, or all out slut?" And then it's like, instead of exploring this amazing storyline, we have to go back to Joey's boring storyline, where she's like reading through all this stuff for this Rose Lazare project. They have a meeting, and Audrey is like, "Girl, you're not focusing on the right aspect. Like, who gives a shit about these books? You have to figure out what you're gonna wear." She starts like going through her closet, and I'm like, "Audrey, I think you need to like ditch Joey's closet and go into your own closet for this."
I mean,
you know,
very, very true. Enough cardigans for Joey. She needs something a little bit interesting. Yeah. Not that, I mean, Audrey's sweater in this is like very peculiar.
I really hate Audrey's sweater. It's so strange. It's like black with these red patterns and designs. It's like a turtleneck, but like, what is this design supposed to be?
It looks like a Nintendo. It looks like a Nintendo controller.
Oh, I see.
Do you know
it.
Which one I'm talking about?
Yes, I
Not
do.
Me pretending like I actually know what Nintendo is.
Okay, it's Nintendo.
Exactly. I don't even know
Not
what it is.
Nintendo, like Nutella.
Whatever.
I've yeah, never it looks had, like the SNES had, or the NES. Controller.
Sure. I've never had a video game system, so I really don't know.
It's wild.
I've never had a
Game
Boy.
Did you even grow up in the 90s?
I wasn't allowed to have it. I had to go outside and play with sticks and like crayons.
Play with sticks.
They didn't want me to have video game systems. I couldn't even get a Razor scooter.
I loved my Razor scooter.
Aren't you lucky? I had one with blue wheels.
I remember. Now they have scooters that are like literally like electric. Like they're powered.
I definitely wouldn't have been allowed to have that.
I'm so jealous. They're so expensive. I don't know why I looked this up, but they came up on my like Amazon deals. And yeah. I was like, oh, bitch. For some reason, I was just picturing myself like fucking scooting around the neighborhood for zero reason. But I thought they'd be good for my parents for the camp. Like, you just scoot around, you know, a good way to get the dog some exercise. Take them scooting. Anyway.
Go for it.
But yeah, Joey doesn't even want to like have the fun of picking up the outfit. She's just like, everyone else is a junior or senior. They're all so smart, blah, blah, blah. And Audrey is just like, please, your teacher invited you because you're like gorgeous and he's a teacher. And she is like thinking, yeah, Professor Wilder obviously has a crush on you. And Joey's just like, no, like that's not true. What are your vibes right now? Because like nothing has happened. And I had mentioned this at the beginning of the season that I was like, ugh, anytime we get a hot professor, I'm like worried that something's going to happen.
I think that what could happen, which I think might even be more interesting than a mutual feeling type of thing, is if Joey develops a crush on Professor Wilder, but then plot twist, Professor Wilder is like, whoa, like this is just strictly a student-teacher relationship.
Oh, would love to see that.
And I think that that would like really embarrass Joey, but I think that's very realistic for kids or teenagers to develop crushes on their teachers or their professors. Like I remember senior year of high school, I had a very big crush on my English teacher, and it was like innocent enough because I was 17 years old and he was, I don't know, 30 something. He didn't give me the time of day, but I was very infatuated with him. I thought that he was very attractive. That's why I started crossing my sevens and my Z's so that I would impress him, because he did it. So then I was like, oh, if like, he does like, it.
This professor is going to look at my paper.
It's a teacher. He's a teacher.
See all of my sevens and crossed. Z's. And, yeah. Z's cro- and he's going to be like, that wow. Sarah Ferguson.
Yeah.
She is so impressive.
Exactly. But that's how you think when you're like a kid, you know? So that's why I started crossing my sevens and Z's because he did. I wanted to impress him. I was very infatuated with him. Nothing ever came of it because he, like I said, he didn't give me the time of day, but I had a big crush on him.
Yeah.
Mr. Well, Wilson, shout you out.
We'll see what happens. Mr. Wilson crosses his sevens and his Z's. We'll see what happens with Joey. Oh, and
you want to hear something
Wilder.
Crazy?
Always, yes.
Okay. Allegedly, Mr. Always Wilson and the art teacher had an affair and Woo! They were both married.
Oh, we had people like that in our school where we were like, they were like BFFs and I was, mm-hmm. and they were like, there it was like platonic, but yeah. we're like, you're both married, but like you both want to do each other.
Yeah. No, but like it actually happened.
It was the, he was a math teacher slash like football coach. And it was yeah. the history teacher that were like,
wow.
Uh-huh. So then we're at the restaurant and Pacey is trying to master these mushroom duck crepes, which disgusting. Truly sounds disgusting. Yeah, gross.
Are you pro mushroom?
No, I hate mushrooms.
Yeah, I don't eat mushrooms.
They're slime balls. Who wants that?
Yeah, and then I don't, I'm sorry, but like I just won't eat duck. I know it's like so close to chicken, but I just won't do it.
I don't know that I've ever had duck. I'm not opposed to it.
I won't do it just out of principle. I don't want to like eat ducks? Duck.
Yeah.
They're just like innocent out there. I mean, so are chickens.
Chickens are innocent. Yeah.
Yeah. So
is it because they're cuter? You could say it's because they're cuter.
I just like, you know, I'm not going to eat a rabbit. I don't want to eat deer. I don't want to eat duck.
Okay.
Like, I don't want any part of it. And also like, I don't know why everybody's so obsessed with crepes. They're just skinny pancakes.
Oh my God. There's literally a restaurant in Vermont called The Skinny Pancake. And they
Is
serve
it just
like
a crepe restaurant?
Yeah, they serve crepes and they serve like, but they're, it's really good. Like they serve like, it depends. Like they serve like savory, they serve sweet, like they serve all different types of crepes. And it's really, really good.
I don't understand why you want like a skinny pancake.
Because it's just like, cause a chunky pancake can be kind of like heavy.
Okay.
And so when you think about like a crepe as like the bread to a sandwich instead, it kind of makes sense.
I guess. So he's making these duck crepes and it's kind of like, Danny's being a drill sergeant and he has to keep making duck crepes.
Yeah. It's the same thing as the potatoes. Yeah. Yes. Because they have this big party coming up, this big anniversary for the restaurant. 300 people are coming.
Damn.
And it's a big deal. And so Pacey has to be prepared because Danny's going to have to be like walking around and like thanking donors and whatever else. And so he's going to need Pacey to be like the person doing all this shit behind the scenes. And so like Karen comes in and they're chatting all about this like upcoming party and like Pacey is noticing like, cause before they were always very snippy with each other. Like literally that was how they always were. But Pacey's now noticing like, oh, there's more of like this like flirty, like closeness between them.
I wonder if it's a perspective change. Like, oh, when you first see it, like you think that they just hate each other. But now that you have this extra knowledge of context and layer of context, if it's like, oh, like now I see it and I see that they're just flirting with each other all the time.
Yeah. And Pacey does this on purpose where like while Karen is there, he asks like, oh, is your wife gonna be here? And he's like, no, she can't make it. And it's like very interesting that Pacey is like very much, he's like poking a little bit.
Absolutely. He's being very, I would say it's kind of like he's asking probing questions that he knows the answer to just to like, kind of be like, yeah, like you both are being assholes.
Yeah, definitely. So then, we're at, Dawson's therapy appointment and he notices right away that the therapist does have a spider plant in the corner, which is really funny. His therapist, notably played by Polly Perrette from NCIS. I don't know if you ever watched NCIS, but she like really blew up when she started playing. I think her name is Abby Shuto. I think it was, on NCIS. She was like the lab person
like techie lab person in NCIS. She had very like jet black hair with bangs is like her look.
Really?
Yeah, that is like that is her famous like I think that's like that's just who how she is known as jet black hair with like full, very full bangs. Wow. And so it's really interesting to see her here with this like platinum blonde hair and like it's very short. And I couldn't stop staring at her eyebrows because they're
so the eyebrows are the worst part. Oh, this I've never seen NCIS, but I've seen her.
Yeah, everybody has seen her for sure. She wears very recognizable.
Pigtails.
Yeah, she always has pigtails or a ponytail, and she's always drinking whatever. There's like this gas station that has this like I don't know if it's an energy drink or whatever, but she's always drinking. It's called like Kapow or something. I have no idea.
I would have never been like recognized her because she looks totally different.
She does. It was her face. Like I you know, I've seen enough of NCIS. I definitely dropped off at a certain point, but I've seen enough of it to recognize her.
Wow.
But it was just funny because he's just like. Oh yeah, like my friend, she knew you would have a spider plant. And she says, yeah, I used to have plastic ones, but I got rid of them because they made patients nervous. No one wants a therapist that can't even keep a plant alive.
That's very funny.
I guess that being true.
Yeah. I mean, of course. I really like this therapist, actually. This is why you go, you propose the question, like, why do you have to go to Boston to see a therapist?
Yeah.
And I think this is why, like, she's actually, in my opinion, really good. Like, I think that she asked the right questions. And I think that I really enjoy the conversations, especially what we have to compare this with, which is Jen and Dr. Frost and Andy and her therapist that we've seen. I think that this one is really good. I really liked her.
Yeah, I really liked her as well. I thought she was like a really good match for Dawson. Nowadays, I think it's different. Like, I think most people in therapy probably tend to go through a few therapists before they find the one that works for them. I think when we see on television, it's usually always like the first therapist you're matched with is like the perfect fit. But that's not always. I just do want to shout that out, that like if someone is like considering going to therapy and like getting help, I do just want to say like, if they're your first therapist, you're not connecting with them, like you're totally cool to pick a different therapist and try something else. Like don't swear off therapy if you have like one experience with a therapist that doesn't work for you. Just because I think that is something that is like we're trying to disprove from TV a lot of the times, or TV and movies and media. But I did really like his therapist, and I thought,
and there's
like,
also different types of therapy, so if like one type of therapy is not really working for you, you can always find somebody else and try a different method of therapy, and that might bode better results for you.
Absolutely. So he's like, she gets him to open up a little bit about his life and like his dad's death, and he's basically saying like, I'm not really doing anything right now. I was in school, like, you know, I'm thinking about going back. And she asks like, is it something that you want to do? And Dawson says he's frozen between the past and the future. There's no reason I couldn't go back. And Rachel says, yeah, but except for the panic attacks and the mom needs you and your baby sister. And he's like, yeah, I guess that wasn't true. She's like, yeah, well, the brain like works in mysterious ways. Like I just love her explaining to him, like everything that's happening to you is completely normal. Like when you lose someone very suddenly, your brain doesn't know how to cope with that.
Right.
And so like, maybe you are lying to yourself, but you just don't know it. It's not like you're doing this on purpose.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just a way of coping and trying to get through it. Yeah. I thought that it was very interesting to kind of have her spin things into perspective. I even liked the conversation where he's like, yeah, like nothing is different. And she's like, is that true? Like everything is different. Like you graduated high school. You're now a college student. That didn't work out so well in California. Your dad passed away. You have a new baby sister. Like now you're the man of the house in a way. And you have to take care of your mom. Like everything is different.
Yeah.
So no wonder you're feeling the way that you are.
Exactly. And I love that we're getting Rachel, the therapist, versus like Dr. Frost, the therapist. I think they approach therapy in very different ways. Mm-hmm. Dr. Frost was very much always turning it around on Jen. And it's like, what do you think this means? What do you, how do you feel about that?
Right.
Whereas
right.
I feel like Rachel understands that Dawson is a bit lost right now. And so she's gently like guiding him in the right direction and like correcting what he's saying in terms of like, oh, I don't have a lot going on. And then she's like, what, are you sure? And then he says it and she's like, see, like, that's not true. Like, you have a ton going on, you know, like, and I appreciate, I think I like Rachel's form of therapy better than I like Dr. Mm-hmm. Frost's form of therapy. I mean, obviously,
I do too. I think it would work better for me, but sometimes people really need to work things out on their own. So maybe for some people, Dr. Frost would be a better method, because maybe somebody would be like, you know, Dr. Rachel, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting her last name, but like, she is like, I don't know, babying to me too much or something. I don't know how like somebody would think, but yeah, like I need somebody, because I spit out a lot of nonsense for myself, and sometimes I need people, even people like you, one of my best friends, to put things back into perspective. Like sometimes people that are dreamers like Dawson, that may or may not be Pisces, like, and they just like wind up lying to themselves or spurting out complete nonsense, need other people to put them back into reality.
Exactly. So then we're at the dumbest storyline with Joey. Joey, the professor, and a bunch of students are sitting around trying to decipher these papers. And they're trying to figure out like who this lady is writing letters to.
Right.
And like, it's like, okay, what about IV? Like, she never uses a full name. There's no, like, not even within the letters. And so they're basically just trying to figure out who it is that she could be talking to. Who is she writing this correspondence to?
Right. And that's the assignment. That's what everybody has to try to figure out.
Yeah. And so again, like, Joey just feels very inferior to all these people around her. But yeah, and like, and I think it's funny that later we're gonna find out like Joey was like very bored by by a lot of the letters, except trying to deduce who the heck this woman was writing to. But then we're at the restaurant, and Karen asks PC like, oh, do you have a date? She's a law student, the previous girl, the triple word name or triple name let lady, Melanie. She's a law student, so she's a little bit too busy right now.
Yeah, so that answers your question from the other week. Where did she go?
Yeah, like we just, it was just like, oh, we met her one time and then boom, she's gone. And that was really strange.
Exactly. I'm very distracted about like what Pacey's job is. I think that he's dehydrating orange slices. But also then there's like this like reddish like raspberry sludge, and he's like doing something in there, and then he's like mixing something in a bowl. I'm just very curious what the directive was for Joshua Jackson in the kitchen.
Just mush some food around.
Like, okay, first you have to dehydrate these orange slices, then you have to play with red sludge, then you have to mix stuff in a bowl. It's like, okay, like make yourself look busy. Like, that's what I do every single time I go to work. I just make myself look busy.
Yeah. I mean, that does feel like what he's doing, because the focus is really on the conversation between the two of them, where like Pacey is just like, you know what? I haven't seen your boyfriend. I've heard a lot about him, but I've never seen him. And he's like, is he coming tomorrow night? And Karen says no. And yeah, like Karen's like, he has a really big schedule. He's so busy. And Pacey calls her out about the sailboat, about Danny. Which, like, were you surprised? I feel like this has kind of been, like, the timing makes sense.
Yeah. No, I think that Pacey, like, doesn't really have time for bullshit.
Yeah. And Pacey is very upset. He's like, I was sympathetic towards you because of all of this. But, like, you know what? Like, now what you're doing is, like, really wrong. Like, I had to look at his wife in the eyes and lie. And Karen says that, like, you know what, this is the real life, and sometimes there's shit that goes down, and like, she insinuates that there's like aspects of this that he doesn't know about, and it's more complicated than he's like saying.
Right. Yeah.
And that he should just stay out of it. And like, how do you feel about this? Like, should Pacey just stay out of it?
I really don't fucking care. But I mean, honestly, I think that, yeah, like I kind of feel like it's none of Pacey's business in a way.
I think the only thing that is Pacey's business to an extent is like the fact that Danny is Karen's boss. And so like,
but how is that still his business? I think that
it's more of just like an HR.
But he's not HR.
No, he's not. I think the thing is, I think the problem right now with this storyline is none of this is happening to Pacey. Like right. None of this is Pacey's problem. It's two characters that are brand new to us that like, no offense, we don't really care about like that this is happening to. And Pacey is like on the sidelines. So why should we care?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I think that Pacey is kind of making it his issue.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know, maybe not unlike Pacey. But I also think that, I don't know. Like, does Pacey care? Because I think what's more interesting is, like, why does Pacey care? Does Pacey care because he really looked up to Danny and he thought Danny as a mentor? And it's kind of like one of those things, like, never get to know the people that you idolize because they're never as good as you envision them to be. Or is it because he has a crush on Karen and, like, the fact that Danny and her are having this, like, secret relationship means that he's not able to make the move on Karen? Like, why is it interesting to Pacey? Because he's acting like he's like the morals police, like, oh yeah, like, I don't approve of anybody cheating on anybody, which I guess is, well, actually Pacey does hate cheaters. Is this a trigger for Pacey because it reminds him that Andy cheated on him?
Honestly, I think it's kind of all of the above.
Okay.
I think it's like Pacey is being the morals police and he's also upset because like he feels like Danny manipulated him. And I think he's also like, I think the biggest portion personally is that he viewed Danny as a mentor and Danny has now done something that he doesn't agree with. And I think that really bothers him because he thought, oh, you're gonna be like my mentor now. I see you as an older version of me. And so then in his head, he's like, oh shit, is that who I am? Would I do that to my wife? Right. And I think that is the biggest issue for him.
But we know he wouldn't because he never felt more betrayed than like when Andy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So no,
he would never.
Wouldn't. Yeah. Dawson is back in Cape Side and his mom is asking him like how therapy went. And he's like, oh, it's fine. Like, you know, she doesn't really have any opinions on USC. And this is when the attorney gets there. And we find out that in the will, like in the living trust, Dawson and Gail are listed as recipients. But Mitch had never filed to include Lily in this. Yeah. And like, my opinion on this is, who gives a flying fuck? Okay, because the two of you could give her the money. Like,
I mean, yeah, I understand that it's a technicality. And I don't even blame Mitch because truth be told, like sometimes you just don't get around to these things.
And Lily was young. Time. This is not Lily is 10. Lily is like a one, not even.
No, she's months old. Like you just don't get to it. You don't think about it. Like it's not like he was diagnosed with cancer and he had time to really think, hey, like I really should make these arrangements. It's not like you don't give birth to a baby and then the next day go to your lawyer. Like you just don't think about this stuff when you have a newborn. He was young, he was healthy. There's no reason for him to put the rush on this. So once again, if you want to say like, yeah, like this storyline's a little dumb. However, what I do want to point out is one thing that we've always spoken about on this podcast is how people put people who pass away, loved ones who pass away, on a pedestal.
Yeah.
And you tend to think of them as they're perfect. They were amazing people. But then there's no room when you do that for them to be like, to be realistic and be like, wait a minute, like they really screwed this up, or like I am mad that they didn't do X, Y, and Z, or I'm mad at them that, you know, that they did whatever or they said whatever. And I think it's interesting, once again, talking about what's interesting is that Dawson is now spending time in this episode trying to deal with the fact that there is a lot of things left unsaid since his dad passed away, and they're mid-argument, and Mitch was human. He was disorganized, and he didn't take care of things as fast as he could have. And it's kind of like dealing with that. That's all very interesting. Now, once again, is that fun? No, it's not fun.
I think the problem for me is we can get to that result of Dawson trying to like not be angry at his dad when he really wants to be. We could totally get that result without this being the storyline that gets us there. Because in my mind, I'm like, what a dumb storyline. Like, who cares? Like, as Gail didn't die, Gail can give her money to Lily. Like, you know, it's all very, it's all very like, this is the reason they did that storyline was to get to that place. And I'm saying we could have had a more interesting storyline to get to that place.
I suppose, I guess, but like, they couldn't really, I don't know what like that would have looked like, but I'm not a writer. There's other
storylines. But then we have like Joey talking to Professor Wilder again, and like he's like, so you think that all her letters are uninteresting? And she's like, yeah, like she's so stiff and blah blah blah. And so yeah, it's like it's interesting because they get to the point where they're talking about like, oh, maybe she wrote them to a teacher or a mentor. She was only 18 or 19 when she wrote these. And Joey thinks they were sent to a friend. And they're like, they're going back and forth about this. And Joey says, like, she's like pouring her heart out in these letters. But like, again, they're talking about like, oh, you don't think someone can be friends and lovers. And Joey's just like, not at 18, because we know Joey is not capable of that. Like, it always turns romantic for Joey. That's
true.
And again, they're like, I don't know, this whole conversation just bored me because I don't give a shit about Rose Lazaire. Why would I give a shit about her?
Like, I don't know. I mean, you're right. Once again, in theory, it's interesting, but not for the general audience.
Yeah. And it's like, I can't tell if they're like trying to hint at us that like Wilder is helping Joey because he's interested in her, because again, she asks like, I'm young, like I'm way younger than any of the other students in this group, like why are you helping me? And he says, oh, I just like an underdog, which again, I don't know if we're supposed to believe that or not, but regardless, I also kind of don't care unless they're gonna get in a relationship, to which I would be like very disappointed. But like, I just don't, what is the point of this?
I think I'm going through to my theory. The fact that he's giving her the time of day is not necessarily because he likes her, but it will indicate that she's developing a crush on him.
Okay.
And there's the scene at the end where Audrey's talking about it, and Audrey and Joey has her little head rested on the pillow, and then she starts smiling about Professor Wilder as Audrey talks about it.
Yeah.
And I think that's an indication that Joey's developing a crush on her professor.
Again, I just think we could have had a more interesting storyline to develop that further. Like, if that's what they want to do and they want to have her like start to like this professor, whatever, it totally happens all the time. But like, give me a more interesting storyline to go with it. Like, good God, I don't care about Rose Lazaire.
It's very, very true. I totally agree with you on that one.
Yeah. So Dawson is like scouring the house. Like, okay, I totally understand Dawson in this moment. When you can't find something you're looking for is the most infuriating process. But he's tearing his house apart, looking for these papers. And Gail's just like, I thought you were like done looking. And he's like, yeah, but I can't stop. And Gail says what we are saying, like it's a technicality, like everything is fine. But Dawson's just like, it has to be here somewhere. And it turns out that it was that this is, again, I wish it just wasn't there. I think that makes much more sense for the story. But Gail is saying, no, it was in his like Stephen King novel, but it wasn't signed.
It's so like, he started to
write the paperwork. Yeah, but he didn't sign it.
Forge the signature.
That's what I'm saying, Sarah. This is why this storyline is so fucking dumb.
Who would know?
First of all, you know your husband's signature. Second of all, who the fuck would know the difference? They're going to test the ink and be like, oh, this was signed yesterday. No, they're going to be like, this is his fucking wants and needs. And he obviously, that was his intention this storyline is so fucking stupid.
Like, I know.
Here's my thing.
We know why, but yeah, I guess it's just like uninteresting writing as to why they're
the storyline in five different ways and make it more interesting. You could have them forge a signature. Okay, that's kind of stupid, but at least it's more interesting. You could have the papers not exist at all, which makes more sense. You could have a whole different entire storyline where Dawson is romanticizing his like Mitch. And turns out, like, no, he did some shitty stuff. Like, this is all so uninteresting. Who the fuck cares about lawyer paperwork? No one. Especially not teenagers that are watching the show.
I know. I don't know who they're writing for in this episode.
I don't know. Because we're adults and we really are thinking it's stupid and boring. So who knows?
Yeah.
Year-olds? Are the Grahams of the world watching this?
they're the ones that are interested in some old bat writing in her diary from 1917. And I guess they're the ones that are more interested in... will and testament documents.
No one cares.
I'll read you my will. What do you want? I'll give you one thing. Of all the things I own, what do you want?
I want... You have a lot of very nice decor.
I do.
I want something like one of your decor items. Mm-hmm.
Do you want the $800 vase?
I really don't. I don't even remember. Oh. I don't even know what it looks like.
Okay.
Not a vase, because I'm not going to do anything with that. I don't know. You have like a cool looking rock or something, like a one with like the gems on the inside. Do you have something like that? Maybe not.
Yeah, I do. I have a few.
I feel like I remember that.
All right, you can have. I will bestow upon you my entire crystal collection. How about that?
Ooh, a crystal? You have a collection? I don't want the whole collection. That seems like
it's not that much. It's not that much.
Okay, now it feels like I'm being like one of those weird people who's like, oh, I need my salt crystal to keep me regular or whatever the hell people do.
All right, then I'll just give you my best one.
Okay. Anyway, back to the boring storyline of Joey. She goes to the library to research more on this Rose Lazare lady, look at a yearbook because apparently she had like a roommate. Turns out this other girl, Cassandra, is already there doing it.
Have I talked to you about how like the one time I like got myself into this position where I had to go to this like town, like local, like history of a town like party, and it was so boring because I didn't know anybody there. So then I went to, they had these like stacks of old yearbooks, and I spent the entire like 2.5 hours I was there looking through random people's yearbooks, and it was very fascinating. There's this one girl.
It makes a lot of sense that you would enjoy looking through random yearbooks.
Oh, I loved it. I was really infatuated with one from 1979, I think it was. And this girl named like Fluffy Nelson or whatever her last name was, but her first name was Fluffy. And she was like, you are the baddest bitch that I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
Love her. Yeah. Fluffy. She got like class, like charismatic person.
Okay. Loved I mean, with a name like Fluffy, you got to be charismatic, right?
Yeah, she was that bitch.
Cassandra's, who cares? Like, Cassandra's is like, oh, I want to be around Professor Wilder. Like, what do you think?
To be honest with you, like, my stories are more interesting than all this. So
it's so true. Like, they're going to work together to figure this all out because they think basically the all you need to know is that they think that whatever Rose, whatever the hell her name is, was writing to a friend. They think she was writing letters to a friend. And so they're trying to figure out who her friend was by going through yearbooks. On the docks, Pacey gets home and Karen is there. And Karen said she wanted to apologize. And she says, you got in the middle of something, and she was defensive and judgmental. She says, you remind me of Danny. And Pacey says, I remind you of a guy who could cheat on his wife. And we find out from Karen that Emily, Danny's wife, had walked out on him because he was working too hard at the restaurant, which is all true. But this is straight out of Karen's mouth. What she didn't understand was that without him, civilization would have folded in 6 months. That must be the name of the restaurant.
Because otherwise, it's ridiculous. Okay,
if not, it's like a hyperbole, right? It's
have
like
we so ever ridiculous. Heard the name of this restaurant?
I don't think so. But the thing is that that actually does make sense because I keep looking at the baseball caps and there's like a Roman column on it.
Okay, I've been trying to stare at these baseball caps too and be like, why don't you have the name of your restaurant on
there? Right. Or like, why is there like a column on your thing, like a ruin?
Yes.
It makes so much sense. It's the name of the restaurant is Civilization.
Because without Danny, the entire world would fold in 6 months.
That makes so much sense. And if it's not called Civilization and she was just like, everything will fall apart, then that is just so dumb. But I feel hilarious. Like, but also, what do you think of the restaurant being called Civilization?
I mean, it feels New York to me. Like, it feels like big city versus
Boston. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it feels like, okay, one word title. And it's like, it doesn't give you any idea of what kind of food they serve. Because if you're going to like Joe's Pub, like, you know what to expect. If you're going to like O'Malley's Pub, you're like, oh, it's an Irish pub. Like, you know what I mean? If you're going to like Joe's Taco Shack, you know what to expect. When you go to Civilization, what the fuck does that mean? That means it's going to be overpriced and you're going to get a very, very small amount of food.
Yeah, but it's a fine dining restaurant. Like, nobody's exactly. going to Joe's Pub to get fine dining.
I love Joe's Pub. There is no Joe's Pub, but I would love Joe's Pub.
You just love any pub.
I love a pub. I love positive. A pub food. Irish pub food is my brand. Okay.
I'm positive there has to be a Joe's Pub. There's a Joe's Pub in Lafayette Street in New York.
Oh, there you go.
So you can go there. You can
head over there. But yeah, so she says that like he has this infectious idealism. There's things that can work out, whatever, whatever, whatever. So the point of the story is that him and Karen got together when Emily had left him. And now they continued things after Emily and him got back together. My problem with this whole story is fucking tell Emily that you dated while you were not together. And either end it with Karen or end it with Emily. You can't have your cake and eat it too, Danny.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that Emily actually does know what's going on?
No, I don't.
You don't?
I mean, I don't know. Do you?
I mean, I think that there has to be a layer of realization, especially if he's caught like dancing all over the place with her at parties.
Yeah. I mean, I think that he's gotten away with it because he works so much. And so he's able to be like, oh, I'm working. And she's just like, I guess you're working. Even though what he's really doing is fucking Karen. So I don't know. I'm just saying, like, I understand where Karen is coming from. I'm not trying to fault Karen because it's Danny who has the responsibility to pick one woman over the other. But or tell his wife, or like, there's so many things Danny could be doing that he's not. So I mostly feel bad for Karen because like when they got together, Emily wasn't in the picture, but now she is. And poor Karen is like stuck here. But Karen, you got to either like end it with Danny or like make him make a decision, you know?
Yeah, I think like, I mean, if I were to speak to the Karens of the world, I would say you are worth more than a side chick.
Exactly.
And, you know, Danny can be Danny, but you, Karen, like, are worth more, and you can find somebody that treats you like a priority.
100% could not agree more with what you're saying. So she ends up, she leaves, that like they have their conversation, and she heads out. And then we're back at with Jen and Dawson at Graham's place, and they're talking about his therapy. Dawson is going to therapy 3 times a week.
That's intense.
It's a lot of therapy, especially I think for the 90s. Like, to me, it's like once a week was like the norm, like in the 90s, if you even went at all. Nowadays, I think it's more common for people to go multiple times a week if they're like really, really going through something and like really need the help. And then usually I think you kind of like pare it back a little bit over time. But yeah, 3 days a week is intense, especially when he's not living in Boston.
That was the thing that really stuck out, because he has to travel to Boston all the time. So I suppose that's a very good reason for him to move out of Capeside and into Boston.
Yeah. yeah, this makes a lot more sense. Like you said, yeah, for him to move there. And Jen, again, Jen should, you know what Jen really should do? Jen should go into trying to be a therapist.
She should go into, like, saying that for a very long time. I totally agree with you.
Cause this whole conversation is so perfect. Like, again, he's not in therapy, but he's like getting therapy like 4 times a week when he's talking to Jen now.
That's very true.
Because she says the will isn't a big deal. Like, it's probably nothing. It's a red herring. It's a detail sent to you by the universe to throw you off track of the real culprit. And she said, he just made a mistake. And Jen notices you're afraid to get mad at him. And he's like, why would I be afraid of that? Like, it's not going to change anything. And she says, it might change you though, which mm-hmm. like, so spot on. Like you were talking about earlier, Sarah, like, it's really hard to be angry with someone who isn't around anymore because you feel like you want to treasure the time you had with them and think about the good things about them. And I think, like, on top of that, I think Dawson is not only dealing with, like, the grief of losing his father, but, like, there is anger in there as well. Like, I'm angry at you for dying. I'm angry at you for leaving me. And again, obviously, Mitch had no choice in the matter. Yeah. But you still, all those feelings are so justified.
Exactly. I mean, once again, they were mid-fight when he passed away.
Yeah.
You know, I think that Dawson has, like, a feeling of also being mad at himself, but, you know, he didn't get to win the fight. Oh, and I love what Rachel says in the next scene or in a few scenes where she goes, just because you were mid-argument and he died doesn't mean that you lose the fight. Like, I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And then we get to the best part of the episode. Audrey has her little tape. She's ready to go. She has to show Joey.
I love how she's showing Joey, just like, okay, like, this scene is when I'm walking around and giving tours on campus. This scene is like when I'm auditioning for whatever play. Uh-huh. And then she's like, and this is kind of dumb, but it's like a video diary. And she's talking about her mom and how she doesn't want to become her mom, but she feels like she is. And it was very interesting.
It was so, I love that they did this. And the reason I love it is because I think, so we're 7 episodes into season 5 and we're still learning about Audrey, right? Like, we got a lot more information about her, like, serious information, backstory information with her mom coming to visit. And I love that they're adding on to that, right? Like, it's very easy for them to just shy away from Audrey and, like, deal with other people and the characters, the existing cast. But I love that they're, deep diving into Audrey and being like, you know what? Audrey really has a tough relationship with her mom, but she's also terrified of turning into her because she can be bossy and loud and shameless and, like, freak people out. But then she says, I don't think I can change who I am because even if I don't particularly like who I am, at least I know who that is. If I tried to change, who the hell knows who I would be? Mm-hmm. And it's very serious. It's very, like, zoomed in on her face.
Yeah, a tight close up.
Yeah, but it inspires Joey to think more about, again, the stupid fucking rose letters that no one cares about.
Oh no. Yeah.
But Joey, I do love what Joey says to Audrey here, where she says, because Audrey asks, like, is it cheesy and vulnerable? And Joey says, it's you. It's the real you. The girl in the video isn't afraid to look stupid. That's the real you. And for what it's worth, I've met your mom and you're nothing like her. And so she, like, runs out. And again, I think Joey, she's not always, like, actively thinking, like, what she is saying matters. But to Audrey, what she is saying matters a lot.
Yeah. I wish, like, my only wish, I think that is very important for Audrey to hear, especially if this is becoming, like, a deep-seated fear within her that she's becoming her mom. Like, and we've met her mom. Her mom is incredibly selfish and self-absorbed and unkind and all the things that it is. My only wish is that, like, maybe Joey didn't have to, like, run off as Joey does best and actually spend the time to be like, let's stop down and talk about this.
Yeah, I think, like, I totally agree with you because I think, like, Joey, Audrey needs you more right now than this stupid fucking Rose project does. Like, I think you need to sit down and be or at least say, Audrey, like, I'm so sorry. I have to run right now, but let's discuss this more later. Do you know what I mean? Like, even give some kind of inclination that you, like, want to have a conversation with Audrey about this.
Yeah, I really do wish that, like, she was able, but, like, Joey does what Joey does, and she, like, just runs off, like, normal.
It's party time. We're gonna have Pacey stuck in the kitchen. Danny, like, sees Karen. She's all dressed up, and he goes over, and in front of, like, everyone, the whole restaurant, he starts, like, dancing with her. He dips her, and
not subtle at all.
No. And the thing is Pacey sees behind them Emily, his Danny's wife, and Pacey, probably because of the conversation that he had had with Karen the night before, is like, oh, hey, Emily, to, like, give them the heads up.
Yeah. Now I just kind of feel bad for Pacey, because now he's put in, like, this middle position of, like, trying to cover for Danny and Karen. And that means that his own moral compass is getting screwed with.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so Emily pulls Danny aside and is like, okay, let's go dance. And Pacey sees how upset Karen is. And Karen's like, oh, you probably called her. And he's like,
no, Karen, get a fucking life.
Yeah. And, like, the thing is that really pisses me off is, like, Danny is just, like, smitten as the kitten with Emily in front of Karen. And I'm like, gosh, like, it'd be different if, and I know, it'd be different if Danny was super unhappy with Emily, but they don't look unhappy in this moment. And, like, gosh, that's really hard for Karen, even though Karen is sleeping with a married man again. It's complicated.
Yeah, it is very complicated when a man, I guess, has feelings for two women at the same time and is in developing those relationships simultaneously.
Yeah.
It puts everybody in a bad position.
And Pacey's trying to say to her, because he's been in not a similar position, but the whole thing with, like, Joey and Dawson and everything, I think it kind of reminds him of that, where he's just like, this is all going to blow up. Like, it's all going to end badly for everybody. Like, that's what is happening right now.
Yeah.
But she's, like, upset and she walks away. Dawson is back in therapy. And he's telling his therapist about the whole situation with the will. And Dawson is saying, like, yeah, I'm mad at my father, but I can't be mad at him. And Rachel's like, absolutely you can. Wasn't your father mad at you? You told me that, like, he had bought you a plane ticket and you gave it back to him. And Dawson is, like, again, romanticizing his father and saying, like, yeah, but he wanted me to go back to USC and he had his reasons. And Rachel, again, I love this moment with Rachel where she says, yes, and maybe he was wrong. Like, maybe if he was here, you could have talked it through and find out what his reasons were. But just because he died doesn't mean he gets to win the argument. And I love that. I thought that was absolutely perfect.
Yeah, I really liked it as well. I really do think it's interesting what they're uncovering in these sessions.
Yeah. And Rachel is saying, like, you get to decide what you do now. Like, you get to decide what you want to do with your own life. And Dawson says, what if I don't know? And it's like, Rachel's just like, that's fine. But I think you do know.
Yeah.
Like, I think you do know exactly what you want. And you just don't want to do it because you're afraid of, like, dishonoring your father's memory, essentially.
Or making him disappointed. Because, like, one of the last things that Mitch said to Dawson was, like, you're essentially disappointing me.
Yeah, exactly. Really loved this. I really like Rachel as a therapist, as, like, a side character.
We just
right
don't
now.
Like her eyebrows.
Really hate her eyebrows. I don't blame her. I blame the 90s. They did it to a lot of us.
Especially in comparison to Dawson's eyebrows when they're, like, so thick and bushy.
Yeah.
And then you're going tight close up back and forth and you're just, like, staring at everybody's eyebrows. It's very distracting.
Well, and she has, like, platinum blonde hair with dark roots and her eyebrows are, like, black. So they really stand out.
Yeah. It's painful.
Back at the party, Pacey has this wonderful idea to go up to Karen, who is looking absolutely miserable at the bar, and be like, and decide to do this bit where they're going to be different people. Mm-hmm. My problem with this is, Pacey, why are you going to bring her on the dance floor to be even closer to Danny and his wife who are dancing?
Bring her outside and then dance outside.
Yes, go have fun. You know what I mean? Like, go do something else. Don't get closer to Danny and his wife.
So I guess Pacey's made all the crepes that he needed to make, and now he has the night off.
It seems like it. It seems like he's done working and now they just get to like dance.
Because he has a tie,
I guess. And Pacey's whole role this season so far is stopping women from making a scene.
Making a whew, yeah.
Well, he didn't stop Jen, but he did the first time.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, like, he's very much a supporting character.
Yeah, yeah.
In these first 7 episodes.
Yeah, this is dull. This is boring. I don't care about Danny. I don't care about Karen. I don't care about this restaurant. Put Pacey back on a boat where he belongs.
Yeah, we want boat Pacey.
Boat Pacey's the best Pacey. So, yeah. So then Joey is late to this whole Rose party. Again, so stupid. Everyone has these, like, theories of what was going on. It's like, oh, it's a close friend or whatever, like it's someone she was in love with, they had to be a writer, blah blah blah. And Joey's theory is, no, she was writing to herself. They were a journal or a diary or a confessional. There's no envelopes, there's no small talk, like it all feels like this would be a diary.
Yeah.
Everyone is super impressed with Joey.
Yeah, why didn't we think of it ourselves? Sure. Okay. Have you ever journaled? Are you a journaler?
I've always I've tried to journal so many times. I'm just not a journaler. No, I can't do it. I can't bring myself to like care to write down all my thoughts.
Yeah, it's hard. I'm not an active journaler, but I try. I've been doing, I think I told you, it's called the 5-minute journal. Yeah. And it's essentially a gratitude journal.
Mm-hmm.
And like it gives you prompts. Like it's like list 3 things that you're grateful for. List 3 things that would make today a great day. And then it's like it has a prompt where it says like, I am blank.
Uh-huh.
And then at the end of the day, you're supposed to like reflect on 3 things that was good that happened today, and then 1 thing that would have made today better. And I do this kind of consistently, like not as I don't, you're supposed to do it every day. And I noticed that when I do it, it improves my mood because it's kind of like, I don't know. It's gratitude is like really hard for me because like a lot of the times I'm focused on more negative aspects of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But putting things in perspective, it's like even small things like I'm grateful for my Monstera growing a new leaf. I'm grateful for Jessica Sterling for being a supportive co-host. I'm mm-hmm. grateful for my dogs who give me love, like things like that and like little things that happen. You know, make or like even like for things like 3 great things that happened today. Like I got a Starbucks coffee. Like it's small, but it makes you realize that like even like a bad day has some good things in it. So
yeah,
that you can find the 5-minute journal on Amazon.com/shit90spod. you can't.
Can you imagine we had our own storefront?
We could. We could.
We
could.
We very much could.
We can have like a registry. You know, people do that all the time. They're like, oh, check out our Amazon storefront and send us like, I don't know, heatless curlers.
Heatless curlers?
Anything.
I don't want heatless curlers.
Anything.
After this whole meeting.
You can ask for tissues.
I always need more tissues. I actually accidentally bought 2 things of tissues recently. So we have a shit ton of tissues now.
Okay, well, you could have more on our Amazon storefront, amazon.com/shit90spod. You know what? We should take a break for our sponsors at this moment.
Oh, yeah, we should. Let's take a break and we'll be right back.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of 1. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again. Now, You're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's one.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay, after the party, it seems like Joey is helping the professor clean up. Like, she stayed back to do this. And they start talking about, like, Kafka and, like, his fiance or whatever the hell. And he basically just tells her, like, no, I thought your idea was, like, the best idea that I've heard so far. And he says that, like, most people when they get to college feel really insecure. And they try to, like, race to catch up to everybody else and pretend to, like, know things instead of taking the time to learn things. And he knows that Joey was feeling, like, very insecure about being, like, the youngest person on this project. And she asks, like, again, I don't, this whole conversation is a little too school focused for me. Like, I don't really care about the content of what they're saying. To me, all we need to know about this scene is that they're getting closer.
Yeah, very much so.
Like, otherwise, who cares?
I don't.
Yeah, none of what he's saying is anything I should care about. Jen's on the radio. This is WCW. Jen Lindley. She has a dedication of her own tonight. A very old friend who's seen me at my best and at my worst in one night at Mercer Pond got a pretty good view of me and nothing at all.
Woo!
And we get, like, the REM's Night Swimming is playing and we get the flashback.
Yeah, and then simultaneously Dawson's in his car listening to Jen's radio show.
Yeah.
And chuckling to himself.
Yeah, so I don't know, like, I guess maybe this is the time to ask the question of, like, are we supposed to be like, okay, who cares about Dawson and Joey? We want Dawson and Jen now, and we want Joey and Professor Wilder. Like, are we supposed to be feeling that? Is that what they're trying to set up here?
I will say that Dawson Leary is still a virgin, an 18-year-old virgin. Is there any possibility in this universe that Dawson is actually going to lose his virginity to Jen Lindley? Jen Lindley was the person that he was first interested in episode one of Dawson's Creek. Are there people out there back in 2000 that were like, hey, actually, I'm a Jen and Dawson shipper and I want that to happen? Is that what we're leaning towards?
It seems like the show may be leaning in that direction. It's like, but it's so subtle.
Jen
it's
will
like,
be a very gentle lover.
She remember would. The ice cream bit? Do you remember the
exactly,
ice cream?
Exactly.
You have to lick it just enough so it doesn't drip all over your
Jen
hand, but you can't eat it too quickly.
So patient with Dawson. And I think she would be so
you know what
gentle.
Sex with Joey and Dawson would be like?
Very, like, teeth clashing.
Clunky.
Like,
that's what I would
very
use.
Clunky. Clunky. I think, like, Jen could teach Dawson a thing or two.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine if it was Joey and Dawson and she was like, that's not how Pacey did it.
Oh,
or she
no.
gets done with Dawson, she's like, that was nice. And then Dawson
it could
dies.
It be like an agreement. It could be like, Jen, I feel closest to you right now. Like, will you take my virginity? I don't want to be an 18-year-old lover anymore. Or an 18-year-old virgin anymore. I don't know. Like, maybe, like, that's what it could be. And, like, she'd be like, I would be honored.
What a gross conversation to have with someone. Would you do me the honor of taking my virginity?
I mean,
to be honest
with you, Dawson doesn't have the mental capacity to be in a relationship or to be in love right now, but he has needs as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm full into this.
Well, we'll see what happens.
When is it going to happen? It's going to happen in like the very last episode forever. Of the whole entire. I've been waiting for this for like 100 seasons. Like, when is it going to happen? It has to happen this
five
season.
Seasons in.
He put the kibosh on him and Joey. Joey's going to like crush on Professor Wilder. I think we're leaning into a projected Jen and Dawson sexual encounter.
Okay.
That's my prediction. Put it in the books. Is it in the books?
It's in the books.
Okay, thank you.
Meanwhile, Audrey and Joey are going to bed.
Yeah, more blanket acting. My favorites.
Blanket acting. And they're like talking about Professor Wilder being impressed. And she was like, Joey, you said you were there after everyone else left. And Joey being the worst. Like, Audrey is trying to give us what we want. Audrey is doing her darndest to make the audience happy. And Joey's just like, Andre, shut up. It's like, oh. And she does smirk at the end. But
yeah, she's smirking because she's thinking about Professor Wilder. Hot professor. He's so cute. Crush, crush, crush.
Yeah, and she's all smiley at the end of it.
Yeah.
Pacey arrives at Karen's house, and he's visiting her. He gave her, like, a sample platter.
I think this is actually just Doug's apartment.
It definitely is Dougie's apartment. 1,000%. They didn't even try. They didn't even try to make it look any different.
Doug's apartment's very distinct.
Yeah.
And it looks like Doug's apartment.
It's exactly Doug's apartment. And so she's all like dressed down, and he's giving
food her all this food from the rest of the right from the leftovers from the night.
And she thanks him, for like everything you did tonight. You didn't say I told you so. And he's like, you know what? I did tell you so. And I don't. And Karen says he kissed her right in front of me. Like I wasn't even there. And he says public kissing is one of the traditional benefits of marriage.
Except if you're Jessica Sterling, who would never kiss in public.
I would definitely kiss in public. I just wouldn't make out in public. There's a difference.
I don't think I've ever seen you kiss Will in public.
I mean, we've only been together with Will in public like one time.
No.
So she's just like, you know what? I need to break it off. I need to move on. He's not going to leave her. We're not going anywhere. And then of course
she says something so awkward. She says, what would I even do? Go out with you? And like, what is Pacey supposed to say to that? Like, maybe if you want. And then, yeah, the phone rings right after she says that, and it's Danny, and she picks up the phone and just, and then Pacey's like, okay, I guess I'll go now.
Yeah. All right. See you later. Also, this answering machine is definitely the answering machine we had in my house as a kid growing up.
Yeah. It's the same answering machine that like everyone pretty much had.
Yeah. It's really funny. Like I just saw it and I was like, oh my God, hey, it's my answering machine from a billion years ago.
There she is. Haven't seen her in a bit.
Yeah. So she answers it and Pacey's like, yep, you're just going to go right back to him. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Dawson gets home and he like Gail is up reading. She's like, if I don't read, I'll wind up only speaking baby talk. And apparently Dawson won. This is so ridiculous, Sarah. Dawson won a film festival in Hooksett, New Hampshire, but he never even entered this film festival. You know what did? His father did. He wasn't very good with the details, but he always believed in you. Yeah. Like.
How nice.
Dawson always is winning film festivals. And I'm like, how? How?
Because nobody else applies.
Truly. Does no one live in Hooksett, New Hampshire? No one else can apply for this?
No. Dawson's the only one that's signing up for this stuff.
And I did appreciate about this scene, though, is Dawson saying, I'm not going back to USC. And Gail just says, okay, the last thing I want you to do is go back to a school you don't like out of some misplaced desire to honor your father's memory. And I was so happy for Gail. I was like, yes, Gail, get it, girl. Like, what excellent parenting.
Very excellent parenting. I was very pleased with her. I think that she knows that Dawson wants to be on the East Coast, not only close to her, but close to his friends, and she's accepting of that, and she just wants him to be happy.
It feels like the worst thing he could do would be to go back to California alone after his father's death, away from his family, away from his friends. And like, I love that she doesn't just say things have changed, like you don't need to go back there, whatever. She says, instead of saying that, she says,
He wasn't like, your dad wasn't ready to give up on the dream, but he would have. You had your reasons for leaving and you would have won him over.
Yep.
And like, so I love that, because she could have said things are different now. You know what I mean? And like made it seem like before it would have been a good idea, whereas now it's a bad idea. No, instead she's like, you would have won him over eventually. Like, he knew it was your decision to make.
Exactly.
And I do
agree with that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we've seen it, right? At that like convenience store place or grocery store, whatever, where the guy was like, your dad was so proud of you. Like, you were bold and you were making a decision, but he was so proud of you. And I think that's like all the proof we need. And I just love this conversation that they have, that they're like, you know, I miss him. So do I. And Gail says he couldn't make a PBJ without getting jelly in the peanut butter jar.
Yeah.
And he would refuse to buy socks. He would just borrow mine. Like, yeah. I love that they're able to speak about some of the things that were like not so great about Mitch, and like,
yeah.
Nothing that is like irredeemable, of course, yeah. But like the silly things that were like infuriating about him. Like, imagine having someone constantly stealing your socks, or someone who's so getting annoying. Jelly in the peanut butter jar.
That would be so annoying. Knife.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, the rule is you always do the peanut butter first.
No, you do the jelly first. That's crazy.
Oh, no. I always do the peanut butter first. No. And then you like wipe. Here's the thing.
Because jelly is easier to wipe off the knife than peanut butter. That's crazy. Why would you do peanut butter first?
Well, I guess in my opinion, it's less blasphemous to get peanut butter. Because the jelly.
Okay. No, don't put peanut butter in my jelly jar.
Listen. This is what's going to happen, though. Okay. When you have jelly on your knife, it's going to slide right off into the peanut butter jar. If you have peanut butter on the knife, it's not sliding. It's going to stick to the knife when you put it in the jelly jar.
I just disagree. I just wholeheartedly disagree.
Do you wipe off the knife in between jelly and
yes,
and
of course butter? You do.
With what?
With a paper towel.
What? You're wasting a paper towel just to do that?
I'm sorry.
I would never. I would just wipe it on the bread. Like, because you put it on.
But that's the point. That's the point. It's easier to wipe it. I do wipe it off the bread, but it's easier to wipe it off the bread, the jelly, onto the other side of the bread where the peanut butter is going. But it's harder to completely remove the peanut butter off the knife.
You are spot on. All the things you are saying are correct. I guess for me, I'm always going to peanut butter first, and then I wipe the knife off as best I can on the bread, and the rest of it that's on the knife is not going to come off into the peanut butter jar
or the
jelly jar, because it's so stuck onto the knife.
No, to be fair, I don't know if I've ever tried your theory, but I'm very set in my theory.
No, that's
I've
fine.
Never gotten jelly in the peanut butter jar.
Also, most of the time, if I'm eating jelly, it's with a peanut butter sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I don't really care as much if I get a little bit of peanut butter in the jar.
But you put – is the only time you're using peanut butter is on a peanut butter sandwich too?
Not necessarily. Like, what if you do, like, a peanut butter and fluff? I don't keep fluff in the house, but theoretically.
Like, you put peanut butter on apples. Sometimes I put peanut butter
right.
on – vanilla ice cream. Sometimes I give peanut butter to the dogs. Sometimes.
Oh yeah. See, we have a different. We have a. Separate
I know you do actually. Yeah.
Separate
but
jar.
I think that peanut butter is a little bit more versatile. Sometimes, if you're feeling a little like.
You need a spoonful.
A spoonful if you're feeling a little famished, but you don't want to eat a full meal.
Or you're just having a rough day. Yeah.
Or yeah, you just are having a day.
You just need a scoop of peanut butter.
But also, I mean, like, are you pro toast? I'm pro toast with not like, sometimes with peanut butter, but mostly
I'm
with
not
jam.
Like a big toast kind of gal. If I'm doing toast, I'm usually doing it with like a full breakfast. Like I'll make eggs and I'll do toast with that. I'm not gonna do like toast on its own usually.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know,
this is the most interesting conversation we've had, and it's not even about the episode.
What can I say? Not everything could be a, you know, number one episode.
No. But you know what? It's fine. If you want to send us feedback, @Shit90sPod on Twitter and Instagram, shit90sPod.com.
Surprisingly, no feedback about this episode.
Yeah, because no one gives a single shit about it.
It's all good.
But that's okay. We'll be back next week. Do you want to hear the title of next week's episode?
Sure.
Hotel New Hampshire.
Oh, so we have to go to the film festival that we won, right?
Sounds like it.
All right. Phenomenal. We love that.
On the bright side, we won't be alone.
Really? Who's coming?
Miss Kimmy herself.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so excited. Hi, Kimmy. Oh,
at least we'll be joined by Kimmy. So even if the episode sucks, that's okay because we'll have Kimmy with
us. Wait, who is Dawson going to New Hampshire with?
I don't know. Gail.
No, Jen. It's the episode. It has to be. He's going to a hotel. I'm watching this episode right now.
While we're on the podcast.
Right now. Yeah. Actually, I have like a couple. I have to watch the Addams Family because in terms of bonus content, we're covering the Addams Family in preparation for the new Netflix series. I think it's Netflix Wednesday with our friend LT. She is coming on. We're going to talk about Wednesday Addams and all the other Addams Family members. So I have to finish watching that movie.
There you go.
And then there's other bonus content, blah, blah, blah. Shit 90s Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Come check us out.
Yep. I'm at the Jess Sterling. Sarah's at Sarah Ferguson. I have coverage for Mythic Quest over at Post Show Recaps. Community Building returns this week. Exciting stuff. Sarah, you have something else to plug. Do you want me to plug it for you? Did you forget?
I am on PSR going to, I have a couple things going on PSR actually. I am going to discuss the entire season of season 5 The Crown once again with LT, and very excited to cover that. I have 3 more episodes of the season to watch, and then simultaneously I'm also going to be on with Grace and Marissa and I think Jason, if I'm correct, and we're going to be going on talking about Mediapedia about like sophomore slumps of seasons. So
exciting.
Yeah, that should be coming out in the next week or so.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, check us out all those places. Check out all of those things. We'll be back next week with season 5, episode 8, Hotel New Hampshire. Thank you all for listening. Have a good one, everybody. Goodbye.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.